It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 249 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's walloping of Northwestern and look ahead to the khaki pants squad in Michigan. We also hear from you on the Runza Reaction Line.
You can find us on the web at HuskerPod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at HuskerPod or email us at HuskerPod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know someone who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
Mike, how excited are you about the new Tom Osborne clothing line?
On a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being the least excited and 10 being the most excited?
Yeah.
0.
Yeah.
I've just, clothing lines aren't something that get me excited. So that's, you know, not a, I am not condemning the Tom Osborne fashion line. I did like his little quote. Did you see his little pullout quote? I loved it.
No.
He said, "I don't know much about fashion, but I do know more than Bob Devaney."
I'm really like confused and perplexed about whose idea this was, because I guarantee you Dr. Tom Osborne did not look up from his smartphone the other day and say, "You know, I want an apparel line. I think that would be really cool." Like, I don't think he cares. So somebody thought it was a good idea.
I think now, he cares about the fact that it benefits the Teammates Foundation.
I'm sure what happened is someone was like, "Here's a good idea. But we'll never, how will Tom go for it? We'll tie it to Teammates. Oh, that's a good idea."
Yeah, and I'm all for it. You know, if it's helping,
sure.
You know, if it's helping people, cool. Go ahead and buy some.
Yeah, or you could just make a donation to Teammates.
I'm yeah, sure that would be. That's probably actually the best way to support them.
A more efficient and effective way. Anyway, I thought of that because 249, episode 249, we're almost to 255, which is how many wins he had. That's what got me thinking there.
We'll certainly get there before the end of the year. So.
Yep.
Wow. Crazy to think about.
And hopefully there'll be a lot of wins in that stretch.
Yeah. Speaking of wins, we've won.
Has the tide turned? Have we turned a corner?
Wow. So we're getting into that with that question, because my answer to that question is we will not know if we have turned a corner until next week.
Okay.
I think how we perform against Michigan will be a huge indicator of, was the Northwestern game an outlier or was it us finally turning a corner?
It was definitely an amazing, clean, explosive, dominant performance. And you can't take that away.
Absolutely. Yep.
And that, and not only that, but this is a team in Northwestern that we, there's only been one or two times when it hasn't been close. So to not have it be close right away, that's huge.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people wanted to pick this as a big blowout, but then they just kept coming back to, "Oh no, no, it's Northwestern. They always play tough."
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even the commentators on television last night were at a loss for words as to what was going on. They were saying things like, "I just don't understand what's going on with Northwestern. They usually don't play like this." And they almost seemed flabbergasted that Nebraska was doing so well. It was awesome.
Yeah, you know, this is how... people probably say this sounds arrogant, but this is how it should always be against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And I know they're gonna be up and down because they have to recruit a certain, academically elite player. You know, you can't just suit up the best athlete. They've got to be pretty smart as well. So it takes a specific type of kid to fit the system, but he knows what he's doing. I mean, that he's been doing it for a long time. So I'm sure they have these swings because that's just what they got to build. and they're not, they're maybe rebuilding, but remember this summer? I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to be like cocky or, you know, rubbing it in anybody's face.
Somebody even went and dug up our tweet about that episode and commented on it.
That kid was so confident.
It was wonderful. Oh my gosh.
It was unnerving because I didn't think he would be that confident. He was just so confident.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, maybe I'm misunderstanding things here. But no, I didn't. It was I was quite a victory.
In years past, we used to pull out clips from those preview episodes to just kind of like give people a snippet of like, here's part of the conversation we had this summer. It's probably best that we just leave that one be this time.
Yeah, no need to dredge that up for that student's dignity.
Yeah. But man, oh man, this is interesting because I just remember several times over the last several weeks saying something along the lines of, if Nebraska could just play well-disciplined football, not make mistakes, don't have stupid penalties, no stupid turnovers, protect the quarterback, there's no reason why we can't go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country, honestly. We saw that actually happen for once yesterday. Yeah. It was beautiful, and I told people in the middle of the game, I had this brief moment of clarity. I was like, the way you are feeling right now, remember this. This is the way it used to feel. I want to get back to this where every week this is something that can happen. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's it just really all came together. And I'm sure when this season is all said and done, this is going to be a really bad Northwestern team. And it'll be interesting to see who's worse, them or Illinois, which is, you know, hopefully we've just put that slop fest of a game behind us. And that was the fluke, you know, not
this game.
Yeah, that was the fluke. So far, it seems our two teams have gone in completely different directions. So, so fun.
Yeah, the interesting thing is this is actually a season where it does feel like each week our team is getting a little bit better.
Yeah,
there have been times where it felt like it was, you know, 1 foot forward, one step forward, two, three, four, five steps back from week to week. It does feel like each week this team is figuring it out. It's dumb, but I think of in The Matrix, you know, he's starting to believe. Like, that's what's happening to our team. It's like they're getting it figured out. They're realizing that they're a good team. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I mean, I think Michigan is a wonderful example of, they're kind of the flip side of Nebraska's coin. They have had the season so far that Nebraska could have had. They have had some really easy games so far, but they've put the work, you know, they've put things together. They've put the work in where last week they finally, you know, or I guess last week, we're talking about just yesterday at this point.
Yesterday.
But yeah, this past week's game, they put their money where their mouth is, and they beat Wisconsin. So,
but you know, Wisconsin's 1-3 right now. But still, they are 10th in SP plus.
Yeah.
So, the formula, the algorithm really likes Wisconsin.
Yeah. But
that's still a good victory, mm-hmm. aside from the record.
It's weird though. I heard people saying that Wisconsin was supposed to win that game. Like, did you hear that? I don't know. I saw some chatter like, Michigan finally won a game where they were the underdog. I was like, huh?
Well, Michigan had a tough, like, decade of games at Camp Randall. It's been quite a while since they've won there, so that might be part of it. It is a hard place to go and win.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Lincoln can get back to that soon.
Yep. Anyway, I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm ready to talk about Michigan, so maybe we should slow things down.
Okay. Yeah. We're not ready for that yet. You just want to talk through some stats here?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Adrian, 11-17 for 202 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. I couldn't have told you. 11-17 surprises me. I felt like he was more accurate than that. For as good as a game as he had, my mind goes to the running backs and the wide receivers and just everybody else, which probably means you're doing a really good job at quarterback. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing, you know, there was the one snafu where he tried to pitch the ball as he was going down, and that was
he was just a little too much there, a little fast and loose with the football there.
But other than that, really clean, effective game. Eight rushes for 50 yards and three rushing touchdowns. Mm. I got to tell you, on that third rushing touchdown, I said to the guy sitting next to me, I said, I'm thinking short side option, fake pitch, touchdown. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened.
That's great. Cool.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it in the past. He's not yet done a fake pitch, and it's, With all the work that they've clearly put in to becoming an option team this year, and they kind of unveiled it 2 years ago for the first time against Ohio State and then didn't use it very much last year, I don't think. But they're really leaning on it. It really threw Northwestern for a loop to hear Fitzgerald talk about it. But to get good, I feel like adding that fake pitch is one of the last things you might add.
Yeah.
I know these small hands of mine. I wouldn't.
I was just about to say, I wonder if it was because Martinez is fumble prone that like they were just like, we're not going to go there until we're really confident with it.
Well, and then there's like, you know, throw your hand out with the ball in it, fake pitch. But then there's also even just, you've still got the ball held between your two hands in the center of your chest, and you just kind of motion with your shoulders.
Yeah,
I'm doing it for Mike on the camera now. Hopefully that comes through the podcast waves. But man, that
here,
was...
I'll add sound effects. And I don't mean I'm going to add sound effects later. That's the sound effect.
Oh, that was the... Okay, the no post-production. That was it. Okay. I'm looking at the list of the guys who carried the ball. 11 guys had carries. Yant and Ramir, 13 and 12. Yeah, but of course, Jacques, it's a really pathetic French accent, had that 64-yard rumble. He looks good.
Mm.
He looks good. Apparently, he's down 25 pounds from when he came in at fall camp, and that was exciting to see. And you know what? Ramir looks good, too. He's got more of that straight-ahead speed, and you really saw that on his touchdown, his first touchdown, maybe, where he got the ball, and it was pretty straight line, weaving a little bit. He's a fast guy, and you're really starting to see a lot of the talent start to come together in the skill positions that we've heard about as is the plan, and it just hasn't happened for us. So yeah, things are starting to come together.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as you say all of this, I can't help but think for as much talk as there was about the offensive line the last several weeks, We need to give them props because
it
wasn't just that they were playing discipline; they were protecting the quarterback. There wasn't a single sack in that game, was there? I don't think they sacked Martinez once.
Ooh, let's see. Let me scroll through here. Sacks, zero. They did not sack him.
Yeah. So not only did we have people running the ball well, not only was Martinez throwing these long bomb passes, but he had time to let those plays develop. You know, he had time to make a decision to throw it to the guy he wanted to instead of just out of desperation throwing it to somebody. So, huge improvement on the offensive line. If they can keep it up, I don't see any reason why they can't put us in a position to win every game going forward. And this isn't Kool-Aid talking, man. Like, I'd look at the schedule. I mean, even Ohio State, you know, somebody had to correct me. I was talking about, like, they were like, let's give credit to my friend Cody. Cody, if you're listening, hello. I was talking to him the other night about how, well, yeah, maybe we could win a few games here. And then I just kind of like threw out Ohio State as like, well, that's certainly not going to be a win. And he's like, wait a minute, man, they're not playing. They're not the world beaters that they used to be this year. And so, you know, if our team keeps improving, if things keep going in the direction they seem to be going, why can't Nebraska beat Ohio State? So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've already taken a couple of top 25 teams to the wire. Mm-hmm. So we've certainly demonstrated that. But to your earlier point, yeah, we had some real shakeup in the offensive line. Teddy Prochazka made his first start at left tackle. He's a true freshman.
Oh, wow.
From Elkhorn South, yeah. And then Norden Uli, who I think he's German, transferred here from, I want to say, Colorado State. I think that's that guy. Started at left guard. And then Turner Corcoran moved to right tackle. And Juergens and Sichterman, center and right guard, stuck in place. And apparently, I don't know how these things work. I just assume they all practice really hard through the week, and then on Friday, the coaches are like, "Hey, man, you're starting." What do I know about anything? So I listening to some of the press conferences. I guess Monday they found out, "Hey, you're probably going to start." So,
oh wow.
I guess that makes sense. You know, you need to prepare as though you're going to start.
Get your crap
together. It's one thing to say, "Oh, I always prepare as though I'm going to start." But if you know you're going to start, you might.
Yeah, psychologically, there is a difference.
So they knew as far back as Monday that they were going to do that. And this is Northwestern has had a traditionally good defense, so. That it's a team that has given us problems.
Oh yeah.
I feel so good about the win. Ugh. Thanks for bringing it at the O-line out. That's an important part of the game.
You're bringing me back to first time we played Northwestern in the Big Ten. We were ranked number 9.
Hmm. Well, this game reminded me of when we played them back in, I think, 2000 or 2001.
Hmm.
In the Alamo Bowl, and it was 77-14 or something.
I'd rather remember that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because after we played Northwestern for the first time in the Big Ten, we were no longer ranked in the top 10.
Right. Yeah. I thought Frost was pretty quick to, in the press conference, be like, look, Northwestern is a good team and they're going to be back. And I don't know about you. You can't help but wonder if maybe. There's a little danger in continuing to score. They still a little.
Oh, sure. But, revenge next year kind of thing.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully this is stepping stones, building blocks, and it's just a continued ascent from here. I mean, that's what we've all been looking to see happen, looking for Nebraska to pull away from the Northwestern, Purdue's, Illinois, and rise up to Iowa, Wisconsin, and then
I'm tempted to say amen to everything you're saying right now.
Preach. Yeah, and man, yeah, Wisconsin, though they are still number 10 in SP+, they do look vulnerable. Their quarterback was knocked out yesterday.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, but Iowa does continue to look good, so that will be a big game. Hopefully we can get our bowl locked up before that game, because I'm nervous about that one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Iowa. So frustrating. It's a team that we wrote off initially, but like they've been a really good football team for a few years now.
Yeah, they're on a roll. Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyway. They've got a coach who's at the peak of his powers and he knows what he's doing. Yep. Plug and play. So.
Yep.
I was really thrilled by defensively. I mean, they just gave up on the run. They weren't even trying it.
It was so weird to see Northwestern passing the ball like consistently. I don't know. In my brain, when I think of passing game, I don't think of, you know, teams with really good passing games. Northwestern does not come to mind.
No. Well, and as we kind of previewed them, they were a rushing team. They were not a passing team. Now, maybe Holinsky, I think his previous game was his first start, and so they were kind of going to go his direction. Maybe that means they're going to try and pass it more, but, I mean, he attempted 39 passes, completed 25, did throw a touchdown pass, 6.6-yard average. Carl Richardson threw one pass. I don't remember that.
I don't even.
Northwestern.
Yeah, neither do I.
That does not ring a bell. But yeah, their leading rusher, Evan Hull, 7 carries, 31 yards, average 4.4.
Jeez Louise, man.
They ended up with 37 total yards. Ryan Helinski had negative 47 on all the sacks.
Oh, golly.
There was a stat posted that the screenshot has been circulating on social media where there was a point where we had like 300 rushing yards and they had negative 13.
Mm.
We ended the night with 427 rushing yards.
Holy cow.
It's the most that we've scored in a conference game in Frost's tenure. I don't think Riley ever scored that much either. That's a lot of points. They spread the ball out. I mean, we spread the ball out too. We both passed it to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys. You know, for as many big plays as we have, are you looking at stats right now?
Yeah, but just like a cursory view.
I was going to say, who do you think had the most catches?
You would think Toure.
How many do you think he had just based on your memory?
I now see it, so go ahead.
Okay, he had two.
That's crazy, man.
And Falk had two.
208 yards, though.
Martin had two, Betts had two, and then you have, what, 8 other guys with one catch. So that's yeah. Spreading the ball
around. I would not have guessed just two for Toure. So.
Right.
Yeah.
He had the one for 70 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And we averaged 15.3 yards through the air.
Dude, it is so crazy to think one fluke play in the first quarter got them a touchdown, and then they didn't even get close enough to kick a field. Well, they did get close enough to kick a field goal at one point, but we took the ball away from them, so they didn't get any points.
Yeah, that
was beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
And that, so it was maybe 7-21 at that point, or maybe even 7-28, but I think 21.
And when when they got into scoring position on that drive, I was thinking, oh, here they are clawing back, finding a way to keep in. And then as soon as we took the ball away, I was like, oh, this game might be different.
Yeah.
And it certainly was.
That was great. Yeah, that touchdown, Stephon Robinson Jr. was just a double move, and Cam Taylor Britt bit real hard. And I think he'd done a similar route the previous play and had a decent reception there as well. So he had eight catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. I don't want to be too hard on Cam. It happens. You're playing aggressive. I assume they were in man. You know, he was on top of him. You get a hard double move and you just bite, and that's okay. It didn't. Mm-hmm. It would have been a shutout otherwise, but who's keeping track?
The people 20 years ago with tickets that say if you limit the team to a certain number of points, you get a better deal.
Yeah, that's true. It knocked them out of free runs of territory from a decade ago.
Was it as recent as a decade ago? I don't know.
It was when I was maybe a little longer than a decade ago. Well, it was when Sue was here, so 9 and 10, because I remember being... I think I was in law school, or maybe it was just after. No, I was in law school still.
Okay.
And I've said this several times, but I would walk around after the games and like pick up tickets.
Oh, sure.
And
I think I did that with you as a kid once.
At one point, I probably had a dozen frozen runs at home.
That's awesome.
Those were the days.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So JoJo
it's people
Doman,
like you, why they don't do that anymore, probably.
That might be. I apologize. Thank you for sponsoring our reaction line, Runza. JoJo Doman, 9 total tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for losses. I mean, that man was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What a force.
You could say he was dominant.
Dominating? It was his dominion.
There's a reason that one hasn't been tweeted out by anybody. I think this year you can't get any better than Hip Hip Toure, though.
That was pretty good.
Yep. I just think of a certain listener and their Mo Berries observation. I think of somebody eating Crunch Berries. Mo Berries.
How about special teams, Mike?
Well, we didn't really punt a lot, So
I mean,
that
it's good. If you're worried about your punter, never put yourself in position to punt. There was one punt. It was coast to coast, 84 yards.
That the only one? That was the only punt in the whole game.
Yeah, one punt for an 84 yards. So he averaged 84 on his punts.
It was almost hilarious how the crowd reacted to that punt. Now, you were in the stadium, right?
Yeah.
How was it for you? Because I can only imagine.
Oh, I mean, I think the third quarter, and I was in a pretty good mood and just celebrating everything. People stuck around, man. Nobody left. There was, at the end of the game, it was still pretty packed because everybody was just having such a great time.
Yeah.
And, people were really excited. And as it kept rolling, everybody was just thrilled.
It was even funny on the field to see the team, like the players willing the ball to keep rolling.
Yeah, they were kind of like waving at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was great. Yeah. And then Connor Culp, no field goal attempts, but he did make all 8 of his extra points.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's got his mojo back. No kick returns. I think every single one was into the end zone. I'm trying to think if he caught one and just fair caught it. I don't know. I think every single one was into the end zone. So
I think every punt that we received, did we even try to return anything today or yesterday?
I take it back. They had one kick return for 18 yards and they didn't get to the 25.
Right,
so
I do remember that, yeah.
So that, yeah, we didn't return
anything. I'm thinking
about
us returning punts.
Yeah, we didn't return.
Yeah.
We have 0 punt returns, but that, you know, that's what Frost referred to as the hidden yards and the hidden stats, because Oliver Martin caught 3 or 4 punts that had he not, we would have lost massive yards.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
they were going to be maybe not 84 yards, but they were going to really roll. Mm-hmm. And so him running up into traffic and making a catch, I mean, kind of takes your breath away.
Yeah. I got a little bit nervous at one point.
He's the guy that they wanted to have doing that all year, and him being out has made a difference. He's been hurt since the first game, so hopefully he's fine for the rest of the way, if only to catch those punts reliably.
Yeah.
And we got to see a lot of backups. I always say people talk about they want to see a fun game, a close game, and I always say a blowout is my idea of a good game. I want to see a lot of points. I kept being like, more! And
I was a little sad that we didn't score on that final drive. I think we could have.
63. When was the last time we were in the 60s?
Just that number sounds so much nicer than 56.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does. No, definitely. We were close to, but, you know, taking a knee, that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice to be in a position where we can do that, right?
Yeah, yeah, the victory formation is the best formation. Looking at the team stats here, we were 5 of 9 on third down. There was a point where we were 4 of 5, and they were, at that time, I think 5 of 11. So we just didn't have any third downs to deal with. We had so many big plays. And the first penalty didn't come until well into the game. Well, I remember thinking it looked bogus, too. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember, but I know it was once we started having the second, third string guys come in.
Yeah.
So
it was like as soon as the second stringer came in, we had on the offensive line, we jumped off sides.
Yeah.
Man, just a feel-good game. Just what we needed. The chance to put it all together and make it all happen. Oh, we didn't even talk about, I guess you weren't there for it, the break between the third and the fourth quarter was really cool.
Yeah, they showed a little bit of it on TV. I think it is so much better, no offense to local artists that may or may not have been played in the stadium in the past, but I think it's better than what they were doing.
Well, so they actually played that song between the first and second quarter.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, they played it between the third and fourth quarter earlier this season, and so then when they played it between the first and second quarter, it was like, oh, okay, what's
something's coming, yeah,
what's coming, yeah. And it kind of like started in one direction with, I don't even remember what song, a song that was maybe familiar that we'd heard, and then there was this hard like record scratch moment, and then the pyrotechnics burst into flame on the field and the lights went off and everything got red and they played Thunderstruck and pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
What, so you said the announcers were flabbergasted. I mean, what are they talking about by the end of the game there?
They seem to be dumbfounded that Nebraska just was firing on all pistons. They were laughing about some of the comments that Frost made during his halftime interview, which I thought was...
Talk to me about that.
I was rolling. Did you see it? It was, I retweeted it at one point.
I saw it eventually.
It was just, I mean, what was it? It was 35-7 at halftime, right? Something like that. And the, sideline reporter tracks him down, asks him, you know, how are you feeling at this point in the game? And he just seemed angry at the defense, and then he was, you know, he's saying he's going to get after him. He said we should have scored again. It almost seemed like a put on. It legitimately seemed like he was like, I have to do this. But, you know, I talked to my brother a little bit about it, and he said, you know what, actually, I respect him for that, because, like, even in a game like this, you can't rest on your laurels. There, I'm sure as a coach, he was seeing a lot of things where he's like, hey, we need to tighten this up if we want to get to 6 wins plus, you know? So, yeah, you know. Kind of silly to, don't know how he was after the game, but kind of silly to see him, at the very least, maybe kind of putting on a little bit of a show there. But at the end of the game, actually, now that I remember it, just right after the game on the field, I remember somebody put a microphone in his face and he was like, you know, this is a team where tonight they finally, you know, this is a good team, and they finally had an opportunity to show that, and they did it well. So. Was very measured. I apologize. I keep talking, but yeah, seemed to be very measured in how he reacted after the game as well.
So two thoughts. First, the person who that makes me think of, who's doing that right now, I feel like Saban.
Oh yeah.
He always, it's just ridiculous. He makes such a big deal out of, and it's totally a tactical thing. We just had a blowout win, and now we actually have a talented opponent coming up next. So that I am going to, instead of praising my guys, I'm going to light into him and not let them feel comfortable. So
he's,
I think it's definitely, I think it's definitely a strategy, and that's fine. And I suppose I feel like Tom probably was like that as well. There's, you know, let's focus on the opportunity for growth. But then, okay, so that was the first thought. The second thought was the footage of Frost walking off the field, and along with some defensive linemen, and they see Trev Alberts, and Trev is given the defensive lineman hugs, like they, it's not like an awkward, like, hey, kid, give me, but they're kind of coming together. And then Frost comes and there's a high five and a handshake and a hug. And then Frost goes on, and then Ronnie Green's right there. And there, and then Jane Green, Ronnie's wife, Chancellor's wife, is there. And it was just a love fest. And it was awesome.
Certainly not the type of scene you would have seen, between coaching staff and administration, I don't know, maybe about 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah. a little different dynamics.
Different dynamics,
there.
Yeah.
I tell you, I am really excited. I maybe have said this the last few weeks. I'm really excited about Trev Alberts as athletic director. I know there was some, maybe it was manufactured, but a little bit of goofy backlash when he got hired, where people are saying, we just hired the guy down the street. People feel, some folks thought, oh, he's from the 90s, so that's why he got hired. I think he's a really good leader. To hear him talk about just his commitment to doing things the right way, and, you know, anybody can say, I do things the right way. But to hear the processes he's willing to go through, and he's pulled together a group of people to talk about the next 50 years of watching football games in Memorial Stadium. What does that look like? How do we make that a great experience? To see his excitement for the game and the players. I mean, yes, he is a 90s player. Yes, he has a connection to Nebraska, so that's cool. But on top of it all, I just think he's a great leader. So I think maybe we did hire a search firm and paid some money to find the guy down the street, but it's probably
but it's
well
a guy. Yeah, it's a guy down the street who just so happens to have a proven track record. You know, it's not like they just got some rando. So, you know, it's kind of weird. When he was hired, I went back and I searched some like old tweets, and there were rumors that they were pursuing both Frost and Trelve Alberts at the same time as our, you know, next duo. So maybe Moose really was kind of a, let's plug this guy in until we can get Trev. I don't know.
It feels like Moose was 100 years ago. I'm still really curious to know
what the heck happened.
The full story there. And, you know, I've been a Husker fan long enough to know that sometimes the full story doesn't come out on some of this stuff.
Yep.
So maybe.
But the internet will have an opinion about it for sure.
The internet will always have an opinion.
Yeah.
Last week, you and I picked healthy margins of victory. Mine was a little more healthy than yours. Mine was a lot more healthy than yours, actually. And, but man, as I talked to people through the week, I just got more and more confident. I was really hoping for something like this. And maybe we all were, but I really was confident we could have an outing like this where the anger and frustration, not even anger, the frustration of playing with excellence, especially on defense, playing pretty sharp against a pretty good defense last week, and some insane special teams errors. I just felt like it could all come together against a team that Nebraska has a healthy respect for.
Yeah.
And that it could be grim for them. And it was glorious for us, grim for the Wildcats.
It was kind of sad. We follow enough Northwestern people on Twitter.
Yeah.
That the same types of tweets that we have posted in the past, I was seeing if you want to watch the rest of this game, you can kind of stuff, or, you know, like just people throwing up their hands being like, this is rock bottom, that kind of stuff. It was like, oh, poor Northwestern fans. I can relate.
Yeah, but that's, you know, kind of their lot in life, not ours.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah.
We're meant for more. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk score predictions?
I mean, we can.
Okay. I usually bring it up when I won.
Sure.
I won.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I guess 31-10, you had 31-24.
Yep.
So.
But nobody expected it to be anything like what it was. I mean, like, I know you were saying you were feeling pretty confident that maybe we could, like, pull out a blowout. But were you expecting one touchdown versus, what was it, how many times did we score?
Eight.
I don't want to do the math. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Eight touchdowns. Yeah.
But also, I think the thing that was most encouraging to me, it would have been encouraging however we got to 56 points, but just to have big plays.
Mm-hmm.
This team has struggled in the red zone. I don't think we passed it at all in the red zone, which the guy who sits behind me 2 weeks ago, or no, it wouldn't have been 2 weeks ago. Last time we had a home game, he's like, Frost never passes it in the red zone. He always runs it until it's 3rd and 10. Just watch. And so now I'm reflecting, oh, he was right again. But so we didn't pass in the red zone, but we didn't have to do much in the red zone because we had big plays.
Yeah.
And big plays. And I think Frost spoke to this a little bit where he was saying you script out all your awesome plays and you have kind of a plan for what you need to do. And when you're going 10, 7, 10, 15 yards a pop, and that's all, and there's no big plays, you have to use more of those plays.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work through your list faster. But when, you know, play one from scrimmage is a 60-yard pass play, and then you run it between the tackles a couple times and score a touchdown, or when, you know, your first drive out of halftime is a one-play, 83-yard drive, I mean, you don't dig that deep into your playing
column. Yeah. Right.
Oh, and then also, I guess we're getting ready to move on here, but one final thought is we enjoyed tweeting about this. Fitzgerald said before the game he was excited to not have to play against Martinez anymore.
Yep.
He could come back.
He's got another year of eligibility.
He's got another year.
Yep.
Yeah. Frost was alluding to stuff going on with him and that he has... I don't know what that's about, so who knows what actually happens. Maybe there's only so much crap a student athlete can take, and you know, maybe he has a future at the next level, but he probably does in some form or fashion. I'm really curious about what that was about.
Well, I mean, he could just be talking about like all the grief he gets being, you know, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders as the starting quarterback for Nebraska, you know?
Yeah, the, so, certainly the weight of the state.
Yeah.
Well, another good day by our long snapper dudes, Cameron Paper and Cade Mueller. On point, not a lot of punt snapping, but plenty of PATs.
And with that, I think it's time to send it to the voicemails, my man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we got a few calls this week, including a correction, which we'll get to in a moment. Let's start with we're going to start with the call from Danny. So here is Danny from Omaha.
Hey guys, this is Danny from Omaha, and I just wanted to say I felt like watching the game today. This is the Husker football that we want to see. I feel like this is kind of what I want to see and expect every time we play. And so it was really great to see that. I think if I had a criticism is, I wish that we would have kept running up the score. I feel like the Huskers, especially with the season that we've been having, I don't know that we really need to take it easy, on any team, especially when we have a gimme win like this. So I would have liked to have seen that, but, it was weird not having so many penalties. Something felt off, and I was missing all the penalties to ruin our momentum. I had to get used to that, and just proud of our defense, proud of our offense, and hopefully Scott Frost can get some sleep now. So thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Go Big Red.
Thanks for calling in, Danny. I love it, man. Wanting to see Nebraska run up the score. Justin spoke to this a little bit earlier. But I'm kind of with you. I, like I said before, I would have loved to see one more touchdown, at least one more touchdown out of that team. Justin, what do you think about them putting in the, I mean, that we had second string guys in when did Smothers come in? He was third quarter at some point, right?
Yeah. That last long touchdown throw to Torre was the last drive for Martinez.
Yeah.
So that was middle of the third quarter.
Yep.
So yeah, Smothers played probably a full quarter, and then Maskers was in at the end. And I love that the criticism that we got in the voicemail today is that we didn't run up the score by more. That is that's just a great thing.
And you know, there is a lot to be said about, you know, momentum gets killed by penalties. I mean, we've seen it so much from this team, and it didn't get in the way. Now, was it a result of maybe we had really generous refs this week who weren't calling anything, even when maybe some things should have been called against Northwestern? There was a lot of holding from Northwestern that I did not see getting called.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But, you know, this is one instance in which I'm okay with the way the game was called just because it didn't get in our way.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Danny. We'll make sure that you get yourself a free Runs a Combo coupon. Next up is Michael from Omaha.
Hello, this is Michael from Omaha. 56-7. Let me say that again. 56-7. That's what I thought Oklahoma or Michigan State was going to beat Nebraska the last couple weeks. I never thought, you know, starting out the season after Illinois, that Nebraska would put up those kind of numbers. You know, my dad and I were talking, if we could eliminate the penalties and the mistakes that we were having on the offense and the special teams, that we could have a breakout game. And I think we saw what this team is capable of. We saw what Scott Frost has been preaching the last couple weeks, that there is, that this team can and can be a great team. Now, we still have a lot of work to do, but I'm pretty happy with what I saw last night at the game. As always, go Big Red, and hopefully we get a win next week. Bye.
Michael, I'm right there with you. You know, this is the week where we saw what Nebraska can be when they play a clean game and offense, defense, special teams are all on the same page. So there's our breakout game, man. I want to see us continue in that direction and see the exact same kind of game against against Michigan, rather, next week.
Northern Michigan.
Northern Michigan. Well, if we were playing them.
That, I know Big Ten powerhouse.
Is there a Northern Michigan? Probably. I know that, I mean, there's Eastern Michigan. There's
Western.
Yeah.
Might be Michigan Tech up there.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, great. No, great. Great to hear from you, Michael.
Yeah.
It is good to have the breakout game. I think that's what it was. I think we now need to follow it up. I mean, a breakout game's only as good as your next game, I suppose. So a great confidence builder for the guys and on to Michigan, like you said, Mike.
You know what else is really good is the song Breakout by the Foo Fighters.
How's that one go?
He yells breakout a lot. All right, last but not least, I do want to share, we have one more phone call. I think it's worth giving Kyle from Pier a reprisal this week. So here's
this
Kyle
is your
from
correction?
Pier. Yep.
Hey, guys, it's Kyle from Pier, not Pierre, as you get, as one of you tried to say during the Oklahoma game. just before I get into today's game, it's about 30 minutes after the game, I want to say is I really appreciate your guys' Michigan State coverage. I've always been a Frost mist, but you guys really brought me back to an even keel. I had a rough weekend last weekend where I got sick, and on top of the Huskers losing, it was a no-win situation. But back to the battles of the capital ends. I mean, man, can you talk about an improvement of the offensive line? Zero sacks. The O-line energized. I mean, you cannot complain about that. And that was just impressive. And at the end of the day, can you guys think of a time we have seen all three phases of Nebraska football, the offense, defense, and special teams, synergize like we did today? I mean, we had our first punt, I think, in the third quarter. I mean, that just tells you how much our offense finally seemed to click together. Anyways, guys, I want to say appreciate what you guys do. Thanks again, and keep our eyes towards that khaki-wearing Michigan team. So thanks a lot, and hope you guys have a good week. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Kyle. I'm glad we were able to help you through a tough weekend there. And, yeah, man, synergy. We saw it. It was happening. It was real.
And it's encouraging to me to hear that our podcast had that effect on somebody, because I'll be honest, you kind of talked me off the ledge, you know, the proverbial ledge last week in terms
of
together,
Mike.
How I felt about that game. And so if we as a podcast, hopefully, you know, as a maybe a microcosm, a representation of Husker fans at large, can help people process games like that. I guess we're doing a little bit of a public service here with this podcast, you know, and I hope certainly that Kyle is indicative of several other listeners. The only difference is that Kyle actually will call in and let us know. So the way we're going to do things tonight, Danny and Michael, congratulations. You have won yourself or earned yourself a Runza coupon. Since Kyle had called in last time, we're going to take a pass on Kyle. It's okay. We're going to spread the love. Let somebody else win this week. And, you know, maybe we'll choose you again in the future. That never hurts to keep calling in. We love hearing from y'all. And speaking of hearing from folks, we did actually receive additional calls last week that did not make it onto the podcast. One in particular comes to mind. Mandy from Pleasantville called in. She took up the invitation that we extended for our female listeners to call in and share their thoughts. It just came in a little bit too late for us to have it on the podcast. It was, you know, it was pretty much edited and ready to go by the time we got that call. So, Mandy, if you are listening, we're going to extend the invitation to you specifically. If you will call in next week, we will give you not one, but two free Runza combo coupons. So, Hopefully you're listening. You know, it says right here, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hopefully this means you're in a habit of listening to us from week to week, because we're not going to tweet about it. We're not going to text you. We're not going to email you. You have to listen. So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you, Mandy, again, and feature you on the podcast. So there is your invitation, as well as everybody. So we love hearing from our listeners and friends on Twitter, you know, people who just listen and want to call in. It's awesome to hear from you all. So especially after a win like this, it's nice to hear these people's comments after a win.
Yeah. And I'll say, I feel like, is this the third year we've done the reaction line?
It might be the fourth. It's at least the third.
Yeah. I feel like people have really gotten into the spirit of it this year. I feel like, it's just, yeah, we've been getting a good amount of calls with good comments, and also just, I don't know, I feel like the interaction has been really positive on social media through DMs, you know, everything. So it is really encouraging to hear from listeners. So thanks. We have a great community. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, everybody.
And, oh, also, some of you have heard from us recently because I did finally mail out all of the Runza coupons that we had previously awarded. Except for the one guy whose address... who you never respond to us. So if we said we were going to send you one and you have not yet received it by the time you're listening to this, let me know, because we need your address.
I think we're at the point, Justin, where it's like, you know, when somebody turns something into the police department and it isn't claimed after like 90 days, I think we just get to keep his coupon if he doesn't respond.
You threatened that last week. Yeah.
So anyway, you know, circle back to Kyle's comments. You know, he's kind of anticipating that Michigan game. He brought up the khaki pants. I think it's time to talk about Michigan.
Do you want me to tell you where we're at with Nebraska SP Plus before we go to Michigan?
Wait, or should we? Yes, because I would love to hear those special teams SP Plus numbers.
Yeah, I was writing them down while we were on the call, and I was positive. So you probably don't know how positive or why. So that was kind of cryptic. We're up 25 spots overall to 22.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah. We were at like 47. Is that right? Up to 22. We're a top 25 team. Offensively, we're up 19 spots to 34.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, we're up 11 spots to 20. So it's a top 20 defense, folks.
I'll take it.
And special teams is up two spots to 122.
I guess when you don't have special teams really as a factor in the game, other than extra points, which are, it by any other team's standards, a gimme, right? I guess that's not too surprising. I thought we were going to take a huge jump in special teams just because that one punt.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you're digging out of a hole, it takes a lot of time to get up to level, I guess.
Right, right.
So, all right, well, here, let's get into Michigan. So, overall, we are 22 in SP Plus. Michigan is 8.
Oof.
Offensively, they're 26th. Defensively, they're 8th. And their special teams are 3. So, you know, this will not be a game to screw up. Really hoping Oliver Martin stays healthy and that we don't return any kicks that we shouldn't return. You know, take a knee, wave, you know, let it go in the end zone, whatever. They are 5-0, and their first four games were all at home. It's kind of interesting schedule here. A lot, nothing super tough until Wisconsin. So they beat Western Michigan 47-14. Western Michigan is 70th overall. Then they beat Washington 31-10. Washington's currently 49th overall. They beat Northern Illinois 63-10. Northern Illinois is 100th overall. They beat Rutgers 20-13. So that's their one close game. Rutgers is 62 overall. And then Wisconsin, they beat just yesterday 38-17. Wisconsin's 10th according to SP Plus. Really struggling this year and might be in a little bit of a spiral right now. Nevertheless, the algorithm likes them a lot, and they're 10th overall. So kind of a unique situation there. So, you know, I think you were saying this earlier, where Nebraska has been really tested and come up short several times. Michigan maybe hasn't been tested, but has, for the most part, handled the competition. Quarterback that will likely see start this Saturday is Cade McNamara, who's not passing it very much. He's completed 50 of 81 attempts for 731 yards. That's a 61.7% completion percentage, 9 yards on average. He does have a long of 87, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. So, yeah, really, really solid. Their lead rusher is Blake Corum with 84 attempts for 521 yards. That's a 6.2-yard average. He's got a 67-yard long, and he's got 7 touchdowns. Looks like it's kind of a 1-2 punch here between Blake and then Hassan Haskins, who's carried the ball 80 times for 369 yards. So 4.6 yards per carry, the long of 22, 6 touchdowns. So maybe he's more of their the thunder to Blake Corum's lightning.
Sure.
Let's see. Cade McNamara barely pulls up any rushing stats. He's got 11 rushes for 9 yards, a long of 9, and 1 touchdown.
Hmm.
So not a big running threat is Cade. At receiver, Cornelius Johnson is the lead receiver with 10 receptions for 245 yards, a long of 87, and 3 touchdowns. And then Daylon Baldwin has 6 receptions for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those are both wide receivers. Eric Al, tight end, has 9 receptions for 97 yards, no touchdowns. So, yeah, they really like to run the ball, it sounds to me like.
Yeah.
Jake Moody is their kicker. He's 23 of 23 on PATs. He's 8 of 9 on field goal. His one miss was in the 40s, as long as 52 yards. And their leading tackler is linebacker Josh Ross with 32 total tackles, a half a sack, a pass defended. And their sack leader looks to be Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, 4.5 sacks, and also is forced to fumble. He's got 18 total tackles on the year. And their interception leader is, they've got a couple guys with one. They've got 2 interceptions. Jemon Green, G-E-M-O-N, and Daxton Hill each have an interception. Daxton has 4 passes defended. And so, yeah, it's been a pretty dominant team. I like to think they haven't faced an Adrian Martinez. So that's, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, man.
I think it could definitely happen. They're 5-0. They're first in the Big Ten East, but they haven't played anybody.
I feel like, you know, this is something where I could totally be eating my words, but I feel like ranking them in the top 10 is based purely on that they haven't lost a game.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's Michigan look, and they haven't lost, so they're a top 10 team.
Right. We're 5 games in, and they are probably one of the few teams that is still undefeated, so I guess they have to be up there, but when you look at the stats, you look at who they've played, I don't think that we need to be afraid of Michigan going into this game.
Yeah, you know, I like their, it's kind of strength on strength. They like to rush the ball, and I like our rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a really interesting matchup. I really like how Nebraska has really committed to slowing down offensively. They have that gas pedal, and they like to put their foot on the gas after a first down, like line up real quick and run it real quick right after a first down.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, instead of doing like a 2-minute drill or a 60-second drill, they're more than happy to play Big Ten football and try for like 4-minute drives and just shut down the clock, make the game shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we saw that for the first time 1 or 2 years ago against Wisconsin, where it was clearly noticeable that we were not doing hurry up. So I'm trying to think of like a Star Wars quote here where it's like, the transformation is complete, my young apprentice, or something.
I can put in a Star Wars drop here.
Around the survivors, a perimeter create.
Yeah, I like our chances. Who gave their score prediction for us last week? You?
I think you did, because I was like, I have mine written down, and then we were like, oh, I guess we're kind of close again.
Well, do you have one ready?
I have one ready to go, man.
Let me do it again, because I feel like you did it first a bunch.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to call for a close game. Of course, Nebraska wins, because you have to win in our score prediction contest. I think we're going to be able to score some points, and I think it's close. I've got 27-26.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So we're kind of in the same range here.
You should accept that way.
Yeah. My reasoning is if Rutgers can hold Michigan to 20 points, our defense can hold Michigan at 20 points.
Yeah.
So that's why my prediction is 28-20 Nebraska.
I like your rationale. On a tangent here, real quick. Every time I hear Jacques Yant, I have two thoughts. One is I go, yeah, really loud. And I was like, Mandy, are you going to get really annoyed if I do that for the next 4 years? And she's like, yeah, that's really annoying. But then I also think with that strong French name, it makes me think of, remember Top Secret?
Oh, yeah.
And he's meeting all the French resistance guys, and their names are like croissant and escargot.
Right, right.
And
Latrine. Latrine. Oh, boy.
Déjà vu. And he's like, and funny. This is déjà vu. And he says, have we met before?
It's actually really funny that you should bring that up because I was thinking about that movie today. And I don't think about that movie every day. So
I think about it often. In fact, I already tweeted that clip. And Bizarro Max responded that he loves that movie, and now he has Skeet Surfing stuck in my head. And I was like, oh, man, I knew I liked this guy.
Yeah. Dude, he's great. I wish he'd call in every week.
Bizarro Max fan club.
He's the friendly Iowa fan. Like, they're not all bad people.
Just some of them.
Some of them are insufferable, but Bizarro's not one of them.
So, Mike, if you want to drop in that clip, I tweeted out the YouTube video.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Introduce the American to the men.
Very well. This is Chevalier, Montage, Détente, Avant-Garde, and Déjà Vu.
Have we not met before, monsieur?
I don't think so.
Over there, Croissant, Soufflé, Escargot. Chocolate mousse.
Mm. Although there was one other thing I wanted to mention. I'm going to say it now because I'm afraid I'm going to forget it. And if I don't,
okay.
And that was, I hope you had a happy birthday this last week.
Oh, Mike. Thank you. I did. In fact, I got to see you on Friday night because there was a surprise for me on Friday in the form of, well, your presence and a whole bunch of other people. So,
yeah.
So thank you for making the trip to Omaha and hanging out for a little while and. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Good to see you.
Yeah.
It's like twice in 2 years, so we're on a roll.
It feels like I see you more often just because of the podcast, but
are you looking at me right now?
I am.
Well, I know I've got you minimized. I'm not looking at you.
It's all right.
Do you even have your camera on?
No, I don't. Well,
that's a weird power dynamic there where you're like, I could see you, but I won't let you see me.
Well, I wasn't watching you the whole time. I turned the, you know, I brought back to this window because you asked me, am I looking at you? So I was like,
what's
yeah, sure.
with that? The one thing, though, that I never question is the quality of meat that you're going to get from Central Nebraska Buffalo.
Bison burgers, bison steaks, bison weenies with, like, cheddar jalapeno infusion action going on. They got all kinds of crazy stuff. You should get it.
Yeah, she's been kind of sharing the story of this hot dog recipe, buffalo hot dog recipe that was lost to human awareness, and then someone managed to replicate it, and so now they're selling them again.
That's
great. I kind of want one. I kind of want one now.
I could go for that. I haven't eaten in several hours. Seven hours? Probably something like that. It's been a while.
Why? What's wrong?
I just, I start working on stuff, and I forget about food.
I do that at lunch. I have a big breakfast, and then sometimes I really get rolling and then forget about lunchtime, and then it's like 3:30, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't have lunch.
I was going to say, like, the problem with me then is that it's very likely that I might eat something late tonight, and that's not good for me. So,
you know,
but, you know, whatever time you're eating, Central Nebraska Buffalo is the way to go.
And wherever you're eating, you should eat in a house that Monty Rohde helped you buy.
Yeah, I like it. It's been an interesting journey the last couple of years with real estate. I'm not quite privy to what's going on with the real estate market right now, but I know it's not quite the feeding frenzy that it was, say, a year ago. But feast or famine, when things are up, then things are down. We want to recommend Monty Rohde to help guide you through that process. We've talked about it before, but it's never too early to start that conversation. So, or if you're halfway through and you don't know what to do anymore, maybe you need to switch real estate agents. That's happened. Even in my own family, I had some family members that were working with somebody. It didn't quite work out.
Jump ship.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
402-770-3356. If you're a boomer or, I don't know, Gen X, give him a call. If you're a millennial or Z, give him a text.
It's funny that you say that, because the difference between how my brother and I use our cell phones could not be any different. I mean, farther apart. Justin, Bill prefers to talk. Like, that's all he wants to do. He never wants to text. And I'm like,
really?
Why can't he just text me?
That's funny. Yeah. Because my brother, so your brother is, can we say our brother's ages?
He's 3.5 years older than me.
So. Yeah, and my brother's 3.5 years younger than me, and we're about the same age. So he's on, he prefers to text. And I'm kind of in this nether region where it's like, let's just talk on the phone sometimes, but most of the time it's like, why are you calling me to people? Although I will tell you, if you follow my personal Twitter account, I'm committed to answering all spam calls, and I just really want to get as far. I feel like inspired by the reply all guys. I want to roll with this, but they hang up on me immediately every time. And they're always ridiculous scenarios. Like the last one was, hey, it's a robot voice. We are calling to let you know to confirm your $1,000 Amazon purchase for an iMac or... I don't know what it was. A Mac. I don't have Apple products.
It's okay.
And I'm like, to confirm, if you'd like to dispute this, press 1. So I press 1 and it's quiet. And I was like, hello? And they click. So I don't know if they just want me to be like, my name's Justin and my social security number is 1234579. Like, what are they looking for there? I don't understand. I just want someone to talk to me. What's wrong with me?
If I don't recognize the number, I do not answer my phone. And if I recognize the number, I do not answer my phone.
Full millennial. Embrace it. Embrace yourself.
If I have my phone with me and I didn't accidentally leave it on do not disturb all day, and then I see that my phone is, like, then I'll answer it. But the problem is, I just ignore my phone all the time.
I was going to say, let's not get into texting, because that is a beef I have with you. You're the worst texter. Every single text, it's like 24 hours later, and it's, hey, man, sorry, here's my excuse. Now I'm going to answer your question.
Okay, well, all right. So email equals get back to me this week. Text means get back to me when you get a chance. So it could be immediately, it could be tonight, it could be early tomorrow at some point. I don't know. If you want to get hold of me right now, call me.
I don't trust that you'll answer it.
I mean,
and your voicemail is full, isn't it?
No, I'm not that bad.
You're not one of those guys?
No.
Guys, Mike is the worst at
text. All right, guys. So anyway,
public shame.
So I think we're there.
Okay.
We're there. And it's not my fault this week.
All right. Go Big Red, Mike.
Go Big Red.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.